You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
All right, let's get back to some boring subjects.
Understand the risk to our country.
Freedom brings people together.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. My name is Chris Spangle. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We Are Libertarians is... the heck was that? We Are Libertarians is a program where us group of friends sit down and we react to a video and talk about current events and life from a libertarian perspective. And I don't know what we're talking about, but I am going to mute Harry, his computer. But today we're going to be talking about Civil War, I think. Right, Harry?
Yes.
All right. So he's got a clip for us to react to, and it is Tim Pool talking about Civil War. So we're going to get into that right after these words here on We Are Libertarians.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Warning, this show is for adults, produced by semi-adults. So the language is sometimes strong and offensive.
I don't know what I said.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians, where our goal is to help you sound smarter while talking to your friends. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective while treating modern politics with all of the irreverence it deserves.
There has been lie after lie.
We toss out the screaming heads, put people before political parties, and give context to the news to make you think. Now, here's our host, a 15-year veteran of politics and media, Chris Spangle.
And welcome back to We Are Libertarians, which is not only its own podcast feed, but also on the Chris Spangle Show feed. So if you're confused, that's what's going on. But We Are Libertarians is actually the original name of this podcast, not the Chris Spangle Show. And so we do this once a month. We get together on the first Saturday of the month in the early morning here. Well, not early morning for me, Harry.
It's like late for me.
I know.
I'm up around, moving around the house around 4 a.m., so this is really late. You know, I'm almost thinking it's lunchtime.
4 a.m., why?
It's better. When you get up at 4 a.m., you can get things done. Your wife's asleep. The kid's asleep.
Yeah.
You can move around the house. You know, the world's asleep. You can get a lot of things done. Read a book, work out, wash the dishes. It's great. It's amazing.
That is the voice of Harry Price, who has it all figured out. Also here is Reinhold. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, and I agree with him that time of day is when you can get things done, but I usually go to sleep after I get things done, 4 o'clock in the morning. So
yeah,
getting up early is fun for me.
I'm normal. I go to bed at 11 and wake up at 7, usually 6 or 7, so... welcome to the program. Again, this is We Are Libertarians, and we'd love for you to comment. If you're watching on the stream, leave us a comment on whatever platform you're watching on. If you're watching it later, make sure you subscribe on YouTube to the We Are Libertarians YouTube channel or the Chris Spangle YouTube channel, and make sure you subscribe in your podcast app. That does really help. Don't miss a show. And thanks so much for joining us, and we want to thank our patrons. You can join at We Are Libertarians. No, it's... Patreon.com/WeAreLibertarians. Thank you so much. I've refreshed all that a little bit. Went through, you know, I do my spring cleaning every September. Harry, you've known for the last 11 years that I let things decay for roughly 4 or 5 months, and then I get really into things for a month or two.
Yep.
And I have my spring cleaning periods.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which is really good to get things done than ever, because you have the energy to want to do it.
Yes.
And you're going to burn, well, I don't want to say burn out, but you're going to do a bunch of cleaning, and then eventually you're going to go to your winter break. You're going to hibernate here in a bit.
Yes. And you have to, if you host a podcast or have any online brand, you have to at least once a year. It's like having spices in your cabinet. We had this can of ground dried mustard that my mom probably still has in her cabinet. And it, you know, I was in high school. I was like, this is from 1987. Why is this in here?
Oh, wow.
And so it's easy for you have to go through and throw things out based on their expiration date. You know, I usually do that the last week of the year. And that's what you have to do with a podcast. You have to go and check and make sure your website's cleaned up and all that. So go check out the Patreon. We'd love for you to support us. We work on the value for value model, which means if you get value out of the Chris Spangle Show, Low Key Wall, We Are Libertarians, the Brian Nichols Show, all the shows on the We Are Libertarians podcast network, then please give value back. We put a lot of time and effort into this stuff. You help pay all of our bills, and it says thank you so much for helping us have insights into the news, and we thank you so much. So, I was going to thank the patrons. Thanks to our $100 a month patrons, Jason Doolittle. We are here at the Doolittle Studios in person. It is named after Jason because he gave us the seed capital to get the house kind of set up. You can't see the house here, but there's all kinds of lights and cameras and all kinds of things.
Quarter of a million dollar studio.
Easily, yes. I mean, it's move over Jordan Peterson with the leather chairs. So Jason Doolittle, Christy Avery, Vincent Peichel, Ryan Hold, and the person I think that's it. We've kind of, I'm doing it off the top of my head, which I should never do. We've had some people, especially in that $100 a month category, drop off recently. And it's been tough. We're almost to the point where we're not making profit, meaning there's no extra. So we can't do extra things like buy a camera that I want to buy for the show. And so if you get something out of the show, we would love for you to join us and be part of the Patreon and support what we do because it really does help. I will tell you the $1 category will probably be phased out soon or capped. I just did my taxes because I wait till October 15th, and we actually make 4 cents on the $1 tier. So I appreciate everybody that is in that tier. It just, you know, is if it changes or gets capped, that's why. Anyway, Matthew Durbin, I'm so sorry. I knew there was one person that was slipping my mind. So sorry, Matthew. Good dude. Just got married from Louisville. He does fireworks.
Oh, nice.
So he does all the fireworks at one of the colleges down there. Mm-hmm. And he said, I think he said this, but maybe I just dreamt it and haven't told him I want to do this. I want to do a parade. We are Libertarians float, and we have him shoot fireworks as we go down the parade.
Oh, nice. What town will let us put a float up?
With fireworks?
Yeah.
No town, but we don't have to ask for permission.
Okay, that's fine. That's
we can really do the Fortville Parade.
Burn all the Boss Hogs contacts.
Let's go to Newcastle, because we can get out of trouble there.
Yeah, we do have Winterfest coming up, so we could burn those.
I'm just saying, we could go to Newcastle, and he will help us light things on fire. Reinhold, thanks for being here. You drive like an hour to be here, and you're $100 supporter. So you're a giving man. We always appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you. You're wearing your Lieutenant Governor glasses.
Yeah, I was tricked into wearing them by being told that they looked good. So I'm going ahead and just do it anyway.
I think they look good.
They look amazing.
You do look like the Indiana Lieutenant Governor, though.
I think you look great. No, they look amazing. Be confident. I think they are great.
You need to take risks.
Especially on the wall.
Is the lieutenant governor going to be taking over soon? Is there some issues going on
there? No. Oh, no. Holcomb is clean and, you know, doing a fine job, I guess. Not according to Rob Kendall. No, it's the mayor that's having the problems. Let's talk about the mayor.
Oh, man. Okay. I don't want to get the mayor's race, but I got some stuff to say about the mayor's race.
We won't dwell on it because this is a national show. But we've got a mayor's race here. And our friend Abdul, who was my first mentor, who is a dear friend in one of my two weddings and my first black friend, he ran for mayor and he lost the primary because he was the liberal candidate because he had supported positions that were sort of centrist, but basically he's pro-establishment and saying, look, in a city like Indianapolis or a state like Indiana, you need people who understand how politics works to actually do politics.
Right.
And you can't have turnover all the time. You need to have some professional class of people to give advice. So that made him the liberal candidate. They went with a guy named Jefferson Shreve, who has sold a storage company business for $500 million and was willing to put $10, $20 million mm-hmm. into this race. He was going to spend $1 million in the primary, spent six, and beat the pants off of Abdul. But he was the more conservative candidate. The guy's never run a race before. He'd been appointed to positions. And he came out as the conservative candidate and said he agreed with the Democratic mayor's plans to ban guns in Indianapolis. That is just the tip of the iceberg in all of his bad ideas. And every time the Democrat comes out with an idea, he says, yeah, I agree with that. It's inexplicable how this guy got in the race. And, right. and he's just now mentioning in October, where was the mayor during the riots in 2020? So we had riots here in Indianapolis. The governor calls the mayor of Indianapolis on Friday before the trouble started and said, I need legally to have the authority to send in the National Guard to help you. No response. Yep. The mayor calls him on Monday afternoon after a man had been killed, a valued, loved member of the society of the city, local DJ, good friend to everybody that had met, Chris, I forget his last name. It's not Ballard, that's the Colts GM, but he was shot and killed in the riots. He was just leaving a building.
Wasn't it Beatty?
It may have been Beatty. Yeah, he was leaving, he was not involved.
Right.
And he was just walking to his car and ended up getting shot and killed. And so nobody knows where the mayor was. We all have ideas.
Right.
And then the mayor just announced recently that he's getting divorced. Now, let me say this. Having been divorced, it's the worst thing you can go through. It's the worst thing I could go through or have gone through. I know there's worse things that happen to people. But it is a terrible experience. It's awful to go through. And you should avoid divorce at every single possible way. That being said, the thing about Indianapolis is that it's very collegial, which is a great thing. Which means nobody here wants to rock the boat.
Right.
Which means everybody knows what's going on. And I'm not going to say it because I can't afford to get sued. And I'm not a reporter. I'm just working off of gossip. So I'm not going to tell you what I know. But apparently everybody knows. And if you worked at any other company, you'd be fired. But nobody in the press wants to report on it because they assume everybody who matters knows, which is true. And the city doesn't want to embarrass itself by reporting the news, which would make the city look bad.
Yes.
But voters are robbed of the opportunity to know crucial information about what's going on. And it's kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't, right? Because if you report on it, then you get cut out as an organization of knowing what's going on. And so this is kind of the problem with that professional class, right? Is nobody wants to say anything because they don't want to lose access and they don't want to embarrass the city after 50 years of work to make us not Indian O place. And then if you do report on it, it does make the city look bad. It does make the mayor look bad. You do, there are consequences, but what do voters have a right to know?
Well, Indianapolis is a very big, small town, really. I mean, people kind of talk to each other, and there's so many things that I've heard about that happens behind the scenes and things that it's like everybody knows, not just this, but there's been other people who got appointed and then to get pulled out, and local politicians doing that, so.
Yeah.
And you never get the full story because no one wants to report on it.
Right.
But when you hear the full story, you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I see why that
You'd
happened.
Be fired
yeah.
if
yeah.
you did that at your company.
Yeah. The only thing they report on fully is Curtis Hill. So.
Yeah, right. If he were a Republican, this would not be a problem.
Yeah. The Indiana Star, which the Indianapolis paper of record, great institution, reported.
Used to be.
Yeah, used to be, sorry.
So the Indianapolis Star, the paper of record...
two people now or something?
Lost all of their institutional knowledge. Gannett has, and I do not blame journalists for this.
No.
Gannett and the private equity that is sucking the life out of the institution has let all of their reporters go to the four or five new nonprofit news organizations as well as Axios. And so the Star is like four pages. and a bunch of sports. Go look at the front page of the Star. It is all sports stories.
Yeah.
Because it is all clickbait.
Yeah, I get more out of the local Greenfield paper.
Yeah.
You know, at least I could. Even talk radio's gone mostly just sports now. You can't even get like actual talk radio in this town except for like maybe one channel somewhere.
Yeah, that's the problem with private equity and where a lot of it's the horseshoe theory, right? Where the left ends up meeting the right. Mm-hmm. And so you end up with Sohrab Ahmari and I don't know who would a leftist would be, you know, agreeing on private equity. But I don't think there's any, we'll have to do a show on it sometime, but yeah. There's no doubt that private equity, where this is a problem with capitalism in general, mm-hmm. is that when profit is the main motive, mm-hmm. what ends up happening is people become commoditized, institutional knowledge isn't as valued as cutting the more valuable salaries. Mm-hmm. You end up hollowing out a great company, an institution, or in the case of our friend Woody, who we did on the cost episode, you end up killing his daughter because the private equity is trying to cut costs to make profits
right.
with the prison healthcare system through privatization.
Right.
So that's where we really focus on civil society here on the Chris Spangle Show, is putting compassion first is important mm-hmm. in instances where you need it.
Right. Yeah. It's a
centralized force at the bare minimum where you need to. Use civil society to cure problems, and then you need profit corporations to fund all of it.
Yeah. And you, yeah, the government just being like that, just make sure no one's defrauds yourself, just more being the ref in the whole institution instead of like also manipulating the game. Because a lot of the things with talk radio and stuff like that, this is the federal government, FCC, also ruins it and gets in, and you know, it's just a whole monopoly mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the last thing, local thing I did want to talk about, I actually met a Shreve supporter. First one of
them. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no signs anywhere.
I've never seen a sign. And I really had to get this out of her talking. It took a while. It was at yoga too.
Nobody is happy about this guy. And that's the thing. Like, Abdul had raised like $100,000and this guy raised $6,000. Mm-hmm. But if you looked at the report, Abdul had like twice as many people donating.
Right.
As this guy.
Yeah. But just, it's just cash. He's just got boat raced through cash. It's just how everything is. It's just like, it's the same thing that happens to every time a libertarian runs. You're just going to get boat raced on cash. You can have the better message. You can have everything else. But like, dude's got 10 mil. What do you have?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's that's, you know, a decade ago, we had a lot of like independent journalists at the local level. They unfortunately passed away or stopped writing, that, you know, bloggers that would kind of, they were absolutely despised. And that's the thing. You've got to have people in culture, society, wherever people gather. You've got to have sometimes the one person that mm-hmm. everybody hates mm-hmm. to push the ball forward.
Right. And that's another thing with Abdul was running. I've met some hardcore lefties in Broad Ripple talking about, I don't agree with Abdul, I don't like him, but he's fair.
All right.
You know, and I think he will at least put the city back on track. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's how I felt about him, too. I was like, yeah, I don't agree with him half the time, but he is fair. He's not going to make the city go down the, you know, the toilet hole.
Yep. So I'm only saying this stuff when I shouldn't be, just because hopefully somebody somewhere will start putting some pressure on journalists to do their job.
Yeah. Well, that's Christo Spangle.
But we'll see.
Yeah, not Chris Spangle, it's Christo.
All right. I don't know why you're doing this to poor Reinhold, but you're
it's not the first time.
Your reaction video is
the second time.
Is who?
We're going to react to a Tim Pool video. I enjoy watching Tim Pool's content. I find it because it gets me frustrated sometimes. Sometimes I agree with the man, but sometimes I get frustrated because he just. I feel like he's also 10 years behind everybody else. When they talk about and they complain about things, I'm like, okay, you've seen this, but like, dude, you're well behind the eight ball on this.
Right.
You're, you know, but he's been on this harping for the last few years, like 3-4 years about the whole Civil War thing.
Yeah. There was that image that, you know, Civil War time, Civil right. War starting, Civil War.
Right. So like, and it's coming old to this fever pitch, which I say
in his brain.
In his yes. Hold on, we'll get to that in this episode. Just okay. Skip it ahead. Okay,
all
skip
right.
It
ahead. Sorry.
I'm trying to lay the glass. Sorry. And so all of the people in the comment section when you watch it, it's all Civil War post, Civil War post. So this is a video from a month ago, right before Trump got the mugshot, right? So keep in mind some facts have changed in the video. It's not him being completely wrong all the time. It's just more of a, like, you know, facts probably hadn't come out at time of recording of this video.
Got it.
Ryan Hold, got to be fair.
He's already not
all
fair.
All that stuff has been known for years. Nobody just wanted to accept the facts.
Right, you have to be fair.
We haven't really done an episode yet on the Trump stuff, just because I never had time to read it. But we are going to. I am working on it.
You are well divorced with the facts. I did this test on a Discord call with a friend, and we made it 5 minutes in. So especially when he started getting into like the honestly, I feel when he starts getting into the actual Civil War history, that you'll probably go on and rant, Reinhold and I go get donuts and come back.
No. Okay. Is it like I was watching some Christian YouTuber yesterday saying that the Civil Rights Act had created a new constitution and completely changed the American Constitution, and we're now operating under the new constitution of the Civil Rights Act. And I'm just like, how do you have 170,000 subscribers being this dumb? How?
We're going with conspiracy. That's no, we're done.
There's a guy named Joel Webbin who looks like a discount Matt Walsh.
We needed somebody on the network that is just like the biggest sellout ever to just pump views.
That's I know.
What we need to do.
I know.
We need Larry back.
Where's Rimzo when we need him, man? Yeah. I think about that all the time, Reinhold. Yeah. Maybe I think I said it in chat the other day. I just need to sell out. I need to pick a lane and sell out. Because trying to be an independent person and think about things from my own perspective is...
People want to hear the weirdest, craziest stuff. They want the Alex Jones. They want the...
Well, if you really want to sell out...
The EAS test will activate your vaccine.
Yeah. If you really want to sell out, what you should do is create a GoFundMe campaign.
Yeah.
And talk about, I'm going to start put up a bunch of capital, and I'm going to start a reality TV show that is open up a co-op grocery store and just videotape just a co-op happening.
Fascinating.
Red meat for all the libertarians who can't say co-ops happen.
How does that make anybody mad? That's what you.
Oh, you just it's the logical fallacies that happens when a co-op. When you start grow, it's all fine and dandy when you've got your initial team and everyone's making money, and then everyone's got the decision like, oh, right, we need to hire some more people.
Are so there everyone- naked people in this?
What? Not the co-op?
Nobody's going to just watch a live stream of a co-op.
Oh, yes, they will.
No, they won't.
Oh, come on.
It's not a live stream. It'd be it's like a reality
TV. Yeah, reality TV
together,
show.
Spliced
yeah,
together. Yeah,
oh, okay.
We'll cause
right,
drama.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
There will I just imagine like four hippies exchanging, bartering goods.
You get money from the Republicans who say co-ops can't happen, and then you get money from the Democrats because you try to have it in a food, you put it in a food desert.
Oh, okay. Very good.
You know?
Very good. Is there a mute on that, Reinhold? Okay. All right.
Got me half. I'll
stand up. Yeah, just a little. Maybe move it away from you. You're like Puff the Magic Dragon over there. All right. I guess we should start. I think like of all the like right wing YouTubers, I think he's like the least obnoxious.
He's not right wing.
He's a leftist who just
center
who questions his own side. All right, yeah, all right. Are we like Glenn Greenwald? Okay,
are we redefining all these things now?
Maybe he yes. just. Have you considered that maybe he doesn't know what he believes?
No. He knows what he believes. It's just
which is
he
what?
Has a lot of left leaning positions
like
socialized healthcare. He's on that bandwagon.
Okay,
yeah. Believe he's on UBI or like he tips the toe on UBI.
There's just like this whole crop of I'm left. I'm Dave Rubin. I'm of the left. I'm just going to criticize my own side. Okay.
The Young Turks makes those. They just make them every quarter.
Right. Cenk is like going on shows now, and he's going on right wing shows now. And well, I wonder if him and Anna are kind of setting up to go. When everything runs out on your side, go Republican.
No, the Young Turks.
And when the Republican thing doesn't work out, go Christian.
Well, that's the thing. I think Young Turks is going to be great for the left there because on the right, it's easy to find when the right has gone too extreme, too crazy. And it's important to shut the right down before they get too uppy because they have a lot of guns. Okay.
It's true.
And if they go violent, it's awful. And the left has gone a little nutso and a little crazy, a little extreme over the few years, but no one knows where the line where's to shut them down at, though. And so I think they're going to help define that line, like, hey, hammer that down, or help define the line like, there's a big difference between a Democrat and a socialist.
That's what
you are socialist. We're Democrats. There's a line.
Yeah.
I like private property. I like my car, and yeah. I want people to have universal health care.
It's kind of like that on the right, where on the right, it's like democracy is good or democracy is not good. I mean, there's a thing where, like, you have the big picture worldview stuff.
Yeah.
Like, on the left, for instance, I'm not that worried about, like, 14 college dropouts with chains in a local area in Seattle, right? Like, correct. That's not going to affect my life. They're not going to make an impact. People who, write all cops are bastards,
yeah,
have no real political power and no, like...
Outside of Seattle and Portland.
Right? They make great... They make great foils for right-wing media, mm-hmm, so everybody just thinks that they're really powerful. What's far more powerful are cultural influences, are TV shows, mm-hmm, are your kids' friends, mm-hmm, like, it's, you know,
yep.
And so it's not the specific socialists, it's sort of the
right,
yeah,
but the line has to be, someone needs to draw the line, because there's a lot, I think, the especially the Democratic Party has always been toying and playing with and curting votes from socialists and communists, and just like the Republican Libertarian Party, like, hey, you guys are kind of nuts, so, you know, no, your ideas are, yeah, bad, and you should feel bad. But no, this would be a great video.
All right, let's get into it.
Right. You want me to add it in, or you got it?
Here we go.
Okay, you're just going to do full screen now?
Let's do full screen, yeah.
No, we're not doing that. We did a whole video about not doing stuff like this. And this video
is I wasn't on that video, and I don't care.
And this video is a month old, so we're not trying to steal views from Tim Pool.
Should we do it this format, or should we do it this format?
I like this one on the side. Okay. This video is a month old. I'm not stealing views.
Okay.
This video technically would be dead in the YouTube algorithm, basically.
Even MSNBC is now running segments warning of civil war. Mehdi Hassan says Trump indictments spark threats of civil war, and it is not just talk. I've been talking about the threat of civil war for some time, and I want you all to reflect and think about where we are right now. It is not just Donald.
Reinhold does this thing. You can see it in the video, but we talked about it on Thursday's live stream. Reinhold does this thing where he leans down and puts his head in his hands and starts rubbing his forehead whenever we play a clip of a right-wing person.
No, it's not. It's not that it's a right-wing person. It's when they say something so stupid.
Well, what did he say that was stupid?
This is wish fulfillment that these guys are putting out there. They want this to happen. So they're trying to get people. It's like, oh, yeah, NBC saying this. Yeah, they're saying that you're reporting on people like you saying this.
He's validating basically his point of view.
But it's right there in the crayon. Look, yeah, right there.
Yeah, they put a crayon in there because there's threats of civil war, because people like Tim Pool have been talking about civil war for 2 months.
They're
just reporting on that.
I think some level of civil war is totally possible, though. Don't you?
Not right now, no, I don't think so.
All right, let's give him a chance. We're only like 14 seconds in.
Reinhold was there, he would know.
Trump has been indicted in an unprecedented move never before seen in this country. It is also his legal...
You going to be okay?
It's unprecedented because it's unprecedented crimes by... I mean, come on, it's not like...
Donald Trump has only had 4,000 lawsuits filed against him. He's completely honest, okay?
All right, come on, guys. We've already made it through.
Counsel. And we also have some more updates. As they go through the list of those who are being indicted, you have Kanye West's publicist involved, because apparently the publicist was hired to advocate for Trump's legal strategy. And that is conspiracy. They also go on to mention in the indictment that there are many, many unindicted co-conspirators. We know that in Jack Smith's probe out of D.C. with the federal government, there are many other unindicted co-conspirators, and it is believed they will be criminally charged. What we are seeing now is that, well, since 2016, the Democrats claimed the election was stolen, levied a fake a hoax against Donald Trump, not a fake hoax, but a fake claim and a hoax against Trump about Russian collusion, obstructing government, and falsely impeaching.
Come on, even you have to admit that the Russian collusion thing was fake.
Define what you mean by Russian collusion.
The Steele dossier, I remember on this program in 2017 saying how stupid that was because it was so clearly fake.
The Steele dossier, first of all.
Okay. See, he can't.
No, but no, it's not this. It's
you
what
never
I'm
met
is,
a prosecutor that no, you don't
Steele
love.
Steele dossier had nothing to do with anything. It was
yes, of course
media.
It did. What are you talking about?
That's not why there was an investigation.
The whole investigation was predicated based on him being a Russian spy.
No.
Because of the Steele dossier.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, the whole... The operation
started 3 months earlier because Papadopoulos was out there popping off saying, we're working with the Russians in order to get Trump elected. That's what the investigation started at.
I think he's going to punch me.
No, I'm not never just, seen I'm just him saying, get mad this, before. This, I keep hearing all this stuff where people are trying to say, oh, it's a hoax, it's a hoax, it's a hoax. Then why were like 12 people arrested and put in jail and money was taken from them?
Who got put in jail? Because I thought it was just the six Russians in the Mueller investigation that got indicted.
No, it wasn't just the six
One
Russians.
One of them being Prigozhin, who just got killed, by the way.
Right, but I mean, there were other... Prigozhin was like in charge of the whole Russian activity that was happening during the 2016 election. But we had people like we had learned from the Stone trial that they knew that they were getting that information from WikiLeaks. It was coming out. They got pre-notified about it like a week in advance. Mm-hmm. So they got told by Russian agents that they were working with the I can't remember his name, the guy Flynn. Flynn was working literally with a Russian agent and giving him inside polling information.
Hmm.
They were taking that information and going to Prigozhin and then pushing stuff out to social media. All this stuff was happening. They met with an agent to try and get dirt on Hillary. And when they didn't come up with the dirt that they wanted on Hillary, they canceled the meeting. But they were willing to do it. All this stuff came out in the Mueller report, but nobody wanted to read the Mueller report because Bill Barr said, oh, there's nothing in here. It's exonerating. So everybody just laughed it off. If you actually read that thing, it was not a fake thing.
Not wrong. They did try to do collusion. They were just too inept to actually do collusion.
They got caught.
Correct. Now, that's just not the type of thing that most of the Democrats did lean on the 2016, throughout the 2016 was the Steele dossier. Pumping that out. News sites did do that, and some FBI investigations did work
that
on that.
That was the first time that everybody
that
heard about it.
Yeah, it was the thing.
And it was so obviously bogus.
It was sensationalist because of the P-tapes. That's right. What started it all. The P-tapes. It's like, okay, but there's all this stuff that's actually happening that people are investigating. Even the FBI was just like, eh, and they ignored Steele dossier. It was hardly used for it. The only thing it was ever used for was one of the pieces of information used to renew Carter Page's wiretap. And nothing came out of that. They didn't get any information from Carter Page from that wiretap. It was completely irrelevant to everything that was going on in the investigation, but somehow it's become all of this was based off the Steele dossier and it was all fake and a hoax. And it's like, no, it was not.
You know what? I don't like your red glasses.
The continuation was based off that crappy dossier. Yes, yes.
The news media was hyping it up. Yeah. Was that trying to use it for? They were trying to use it in the 2016 election. They were trying to use it, and it all came from the Steele dossier. It wasn't even from Hillary to begin with. Anyway, it was from McCain and his opposition research. That's when it got started.
All right, let's go. We're only a minute 18.
And then it was also, it was still partially a little bit funded from the Hillary
Clinton.
Oh, no,
it definitely
was.
She was pushing it. They were trying to use it to get elected.
All right.
Teaching him twice. I don't see how this is anything but a revolutionary period. or I should say Civil War period. Now, many people tell me that I'm wrong, that I'm crazy. They take my tweets and they say, look at all the times Tim said this. And I just think back and I would say it this way. If you go back to when I was saying several years ago that we were tracking towards a civil war, you know, I'd watched a documentary about the Spanish Civil War. I've watched short videos about the Russian Revolution. I've watched, I don't know, probably a dozen American Civil War documentaries. And I just...
This guy's base of information is watching documentaries. Harry, describe my face. As this man said, he watched YouTube videos.
Yeah, he watched a documentary. Your face went from like, all right, he's going to tell me all his sources. And when he just find out you just watch a YouTube video documentary, your face just started to crumple. It's just like, what? I've got bookshelves of this.
It twisted into what? And look.
This is why
let he who is without stone, without sin, cast stones. Right. So you know, back in the old days, my prep was a lot of documentaries. Yeah. But
you're not being paid like this man is, and this is his full-time job.
People are not listening to me at the level they're listening to him. But yeah. You know what I realized?
If this was your full-time gig, you would give us a reading list on Mondays.
Yes. What I realized in 2018-ish, 2019, was that my learning and base of knowledge was insufficient to do the program I was doing. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening to this show, as I can tell the people who are still here, because we've lost a fair amount of people because I phoned it in for 2 years, was that around year 9 of the show, I realized the level of people that were listening to me and the level of responsibility that I carried with that. Like, if people are taking what you say that seriously, and you are, that is like a heavy responsibility, and you better not half behind it like I was most of the time. Like when Greg was on the show, he was the smart one, and I was the one that ran the podcast. And then when he left, it was like, I've got to actually start being smart. Okay, I've got to start like researching. And then we had that period, Harry, where I over-researched.
Yes.
But I realized doing that, how flimsy my knowledge was and how not going to college, not finishing my degree, never taking my schooling that seriously had left me with significant gaps. And it led to a major crisis of confidence in doing this show. And so what I have been doing since 2019 is taking some college courses, reading like a madman, 2 books a week, like investing in shows like History of Modern Politics that have set off. Look, I don't know the history of Western politics. Like, I need to dig in and do a bunch of reading on this. I'm starting a project that you'll hear on the show with Caleb Franz about America's 250th birthday. What are the documents and events that led up to the Declaration of Independence on its 250th birthday? Like, and then how did that impact us after? And then the religious side of me, like investing in apologetics and philosophy and understanding what I actually believe and then articulating it to all of you. It's a heavy responsibility that fortunately it's not that much of a responsibility because in the process of checking out a little bit to do it, we have lost some of our audience. But
what you realize is you get to just ignored all that and just watch a couple YouTube videos and get 150,000
views. The next
10
years of this show will be so much better because of the work I'm doing right now.
Yep.
But that tells me that Tim doesn't understand the weight of his responsibility and the depth of knowledge that you really need to have to be a good commentator. I don't feel I have that. I feel I'm an okay commentator, but I could be so much better had I spent the last 25 years reading and not just watching YouTube videos and documentaries.
I don't think Tim Pool is concerned about being that responsible commentator. I think he's just wanting to figure out what's the best way to get the clicks so I can get the money so that I can have this as my job. And also push out my beliefs and agenda onto people and get them following along with me.
I think he's moving on the knowledge that he does have.
Yeah.
I think maybe a little business thing minding on it because he's got workers and an empire to build. I think he needs a break. I think he needs a good 2-week vacation every quarter.
To touch grass?
To go touch, not touch grass, just to disconnect from the internet.
I realized around 2020 that, like, that's why 21, 22, I didn't do that much. Because I realized I was physically manifesting symptoms of the stress of trying to make We Are Libertarians grow, trying to read all of this, trying to understand everybody's point of view, the weight of trying to gain knowledge and trying to take everybody seriously at a certain point makes you just collapse. And you end up in the ecosystem, so invested in the ecosystem that you're building, that you're observing on Twitter, that you lose touch with the fact that there are other groups of people out there that think differently than you, and you don't appreciate them, you don't listen to them, you don't understand them because they're not in front of your algorithm. And so I could see that. I think a break, not caring, because at a certain point, Reinhold's right, you just got to ship the product. Mm-hmm. You just got to go.
Yeah, just like 3+ videos a week. A day. Three plus videos a day and a 2-hour live stream. So yeah, Reinhold's also right. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, if somebody does tag Tim Pool and say that we're talking trash, make sure they say that Harry loves him. Harry does really like him, and Brian Nichols was on his show, so I do appreciate him in certain ways.
Yeah,
but
yeah. As a beanie skateboarder, I appreciate the guy. You know, yeah, I've watched his content a long different time. But he also brings on people that I do respect, like Luke Radowski of A We Are Change. Love Luke.
I don't think that he's that crazy about the Civil War thing, but we're going to give him his due, and then we'll talk about that, and I'll argue with Reinhold.
Keep feeling like there are similarities. Of course, it's never the same, but there are many, many similar things. We have leftists. We have a Princeton professor. We have national security analysts all warning of similar or the same things. And just yesterday, and this is before the indictment, Mehdi Hasan says Trump supporters' threats of civil war are not just talk. But I find it funny. Trump supporters' threats of civil war? Yeah, it's an interesting way to put it. Because this guy supports the actions of the DOJ going after Donald Trump and his lawyers and political consultants and publicists and advocates. But the warnings are real.
Okay.
So to finish my point, I always like to call it the time travel test.
This is why we don't give him the pause button, because
I'm just going to...
Just letting it go.
We need... How do I put Dennis and have the Dennis cam here?
Oh, like solo later. Yeah.
I can't do it. Dang. Man. All right. Well, here we go.
You can't. Yeah.
All right. Here's the argument. Yeah. Okay. Can
we play it?
Dang. Maybe if I just remove us. Here we go.
I'd like to take you back to 2018. I think that was the year of the Battle of Berkeley. I'm not sure. Back then, I had a few hundred thousand subscribers on YouTube. Now I have several million. And back then, I was witnessing these street battles. I was witnessing the political sentiment. And I was told consistently by Republican personalities and conservative journalists that I was crazy to think that this could eventually lead to civil war. I've made this point several times.
It looks like we're pegging him.
The escalation just keeps happening before us. Yet there are still people who say it's crazy to think it's happening. Fair point. It could be a revolution and you all could find yourselves just locked up in jail like many of these Republicans.
Poor Reinhold.
What I love is when you have a group of people who for decades has spent their time talking about rule of law and lawless people doing things and people being held accountable to our laws. And then you go and you try to enforce those laws that are being broken at extremely just obnoxious levels. Mm-hmm. They're going after him and they're attacking him. And it's like, do you not understand what he's done and how the fact that he doesn't think that the impeachments were legitimate?
Yeah, by the way, if the impeachments, especially the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially
the second one. January 6th, if the Senate had taken the trial seriously and done an actual trial and had removed him, if Mitch McConnell didn't just say, well, we can just let this go and we'll get what the Republicans have never understood is the Republican establishment, I guess I should say, is they keep going, well, eventually his time clock's going to run out. If we just punt, he'll go away. Mm-hmm. That's never going to happen. The only thing that will make this go away is him dying, and he's never going to stop. Yeah. He sees achieving the presidency as his only form of protection, so he can give himself a pardon. It is self-protection.
It is.
And so they if they had taken the civil process of impeachment, the political process of impeachment seriously, then you would not have gotten to the criminal piece. And Donald Trump, by running for president, invited them to do the criminal process to do something about it. Because he is a fundamental threat to the rule of law and the constitutional order. The man tried to stay in office on January 6th. He had lost the election. He filed 150 lawsuits trying to prove that the election was stolen from him. He failed in every single one of those. He said the other day that there is voter fraud taking place in this election. There hasn't been a ballot cast yet in the 2024 election, and the man is saying it's already been stolen from him. When he won in 2016, he said there was fraud and it was stolen from him. This is how he thinks this is his MO. And so he's a threat to the constitutional order, and the Democrats see themselves as a check and balance. You may not agree with that. I think that some of the cases are complete and total BS, and then some of them aren't. Like the documents case is pretty open and shut in terms of his guilt and his obstruction of justice and his perjury. And you don't get a pass to just violate the law and obstruct justice because you're the head of a political movement in the country. So the opposite side, Reinhold, is also true. Yeah, so maybe there are some of these cases where he is being prosecuted because he's running for president, because he's Donald Trump, but he is also expecting special treatment, and he should be allowed to get away with violating the law and do other things that other people aren't allowed to do.
Those latest filing to get rid of the lawsuits in D.C. and Florida are that I was president at the time, therefore nothing I can do is illegal. It's the Nixon defense of the imperial presidency, which they want to implement. This is what the Project 2025 process is about. They want to put in an imperial presidency that has no checks and balances and is only filled, the entire executive branch is filled with nothing but people who have passed a loyalty test to him.
What was the It wasn't like the red dictator, red authoritarian. It was an article big in the news yesterday, the day before. I'll see if I can find it. But basically, someone started documenting how all of these right-wing commentators are now talking about the need for a monarchy, which we in the libertarian movement have seen for years now, for the last 4 or 5 years.
I mean, it's all coming from the Heritage Foundation.
It's it's Curtis Yarvin feeding a young group of conservatives and libertarians. It's Hoppe to Yarvin to Heritage to Claremont Institute to all these different think tanks, and it's starting to grow. I mean, you had it in the 30s. This is the thing that people need to realize. Karl Rove wrote a great op-ed in the Washington Post. Listen to him on Dan Senor's podcast, basically talking about how the country is in better shape than it's been in the past. We had 10,000 bombings under Nixon, right? Like, which we'll get to, because I think it counters kind of, if you know history, I'll pull that up and we'll read through it. But
Reinhold's a great check when everyone's just like, well, this is, we've never been this violent, but it's going to get into, we got to get to the part of the video.
I'm like, somebody's never read about 1968 before. How about Kent State? How much? And that's the thing is about Kent State, National Guard killed, you know, 4 students. They don't talk about the next week, the National Guard killed more students at another campus.
Okay, it wasn't that one.
It was in Florida. And it's like this stuff was happening. There were race killings going on. There were people killing people because of their race in the earlier 70s, late 60s, and it was just, it was really nasty for a long time.
They didn't have that in Forrest Gump. I don't know. All right.
What did you do with keep playing? Ruined his Panther Party.
Ruined his Panther Party.
There we go. Who were slated as alternate electors, they're now being accused of being co-conspirators. So you've got Democrats in all of these states going after anyone who dared to oppose them. Let's talk about one of the conspirators in the current case against Donald Trump and again, these conspirators. One individual met with an alternate slate of electors, explaining to them that in the event that there is a legal challenge that succeeds in 2020, they will need to have filled out the appropriate documents to submit. The Constitution prescribes as such.
Wrong.
This is what happened in 1960 with Kennedy versus Nixon.
Wrong.
Republicans had won in Hawaii. Democrats convened an alternate slate of electors anyway, filled out the forms, and submitted them. Because there were ongoing legal challenges.
Because there was an ongoing legal challenge to Richard that was valid, Nixon, that
who
was in
ultimately
place.
Had to decide whether or not he would count the Democrat or the Republican votes, despite the fact the state...
That needs to get out, because, like, yeah, can you talk about this historical case? You're going.
This has all been debunked. It's all just... He gets a narrative, and you can come at him with all the facts, just like with all this stuff about, the Trump investigations, all these things... The massive violations of law, all the things that have happened, you can give him all the facts. He doesn't care because it doesn't fit the narrative he wants to present.
But you say that all the time, but people don't go and read what you read, mm-hmm. and they don't...
No, people like him are supposed to be out there presenting the information to people so that they don't have to go read it. They can hear it from someone who's supposed to be a political commentator who does the work like you're trying to do, where you go out and get all this information, you present it in a way so people can understand what's really going on, but that's not what they do. They don't care about that. They want to propagandize, and that's what they're doing. This is propaganda because they're not giving you the full story. They're not giving you the counter. They're not admitting that what they're saying is not true. They're doing this in order to push people to thinking this stuff because they know people aren't going to go out and check on whether what he said is right or not.
Yeah.
I could do this every Monday now with Reinhold. Just turn,
hear him rant.
The honestly, old rant section.
Honestly, like I feel like we should get his blood pressure monitor on the screen and just watch it go up as we press play.
I got my watch.
Unfortunately, Rove didn't write an article, so I can't go back. But
my heart rate is at 80 right now. So
that's good. Good.
Okay. Good. Right. It's a normal day for me.
You look like you're working out hard. You look like
we'll get that up.
You look like you.
Well, you know, in this shape, you know, any movement at all is going to be seen as a shock to the system.
A movement at this point. Right, let's keep going.
Had certified the Republicans. Nixon said, "We're going to count the Democrats," and that was history. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump and his team came up with a similar legal argument. Now, on the left, they argue that this was a crackpot scheme to try and steal the election because they lost. On the right, they argue that there were discrepancies. There was evidence of fraud or malfeasance.
There was none.
There were issues pertaining to the executive of states changing the rules, despite the fact that the Constitution says the state legislature has ultimate say.
Which they gave.
The argument from the Trump camp boiled down to a very simple point. If the
we could probably do a whole episode on that with the Pennsylvania Constitution, them changing the thing like that. But yeah, it's just how it's worded.
Right.
It's very weird. But yeah, that's a whole. It's a whole, like, I want to say 2-hour essay on like what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyways,
state legislature has not had its say on these election procedures. The vice president should not accept the results, the electors that were presented to them. Often they were done by either courts or the governor, and that he should send them back to the state legislature to vote on them. Now, I don't know. You can argue that Trump is lying, or you can argue that he was wrong, or you can argue that he was right. Regardless, this is a legal lying, procedure right. for handling it.
Not regardless. He's lying. He's lying. The man is lying.
He's lying, and there's lying. Proof against it, and he violated the law several times, and there is why we have the court case.
Now, granted, this is before the mugshot. The indictment, I think, was just released when this was recorded, okay, in Georgia, okay, so.
Yeah. The two New York cases, the Bragg case is ridiculous. Like, I forget what's the subject of that one,
the payments to Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, right. Violation. Come on.
It's a re-election one.
The Georgia case is flimsy.
What?
What?
The Georgia case
is not.
Is absolutely
is not
flimsy.
Oh, God, no,
it is not.
Whoa.
You're doing a RICO statute.
Yes.
You have no direct evidence that he's actually involved.
Yes, what?
They're trying to flip other people to turn on him.
They have the evidence.
What evidence? Let's hear the evidence, Harry.
they have evidence of like the phone calls with him with the governor to look for the votes, and then all of them pushing that of them going to
Secretary of State Raffensperger. Yes,
and then going to the let's say when it was the quote unquote phone call when they got permission to go look at the voting machines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They didn't, which supposed to be they're supposed to have this whole thing, so they illegally crossed over there. There's tons of different stuff. I can't remember off the top of my head because I'm not prepped for this. I forget most of this thing.
Therefore, it's I win.
Nope.
It's like a 75-page indictment or something.
Yeah,
like
that, with this all is the massive detail indictment. That's in there. Yeah,
this it's is massive. Not,
it's a RICO case. You yes, don't have the smoking gun.
The Republicans.
No, they
made,
have the smoking gun.
Which
they,
is what? The phone call to Raffensperger.
That's one of the smoking guns. They also have text messages. They have eyewitness of testimony. Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Yes,
saying go steal me 11,000 votes.
He said it on the call.
Yeah.
They're prosecuting him on what Georgia statue?
I can't remember what the statue is called, but for it is yeah, but it's a voter fraud one. We could go. You know
all right,
what?
Let's do an episode on it later. We'll come back.
We'll come back and do this. I'm going to have a free Saturday coming up here shortly.
The documents case, though, is open and shut.
Yeah,
we can all agree
much.
On that.
Yeah,
it's
much,
even
yeah.
getting worse right. because yeah, they getting, found out about Australian businessman.
He told an Australian businessman how nuclear weapons were made or something. What was the...
He was telling him about nuclear capabilities of submarines. And the funny thing is the reason he wasn't indicted for that, because Smith knew about it. I think the reason he wasn't indicted for it is because he was wrong about the
that's know, funny.
Stuff. That he yeah. told him the wrong information.
It's worse than the nuclear warhead. It's the nuclear submarine.
Okay.
It's worse. Yeah.
Submarine capabilities.
Yeah. Weren't they trying?
Most countries can't do the nuclear submarine. They can't right. do it. No, they can't do it.
Yeah. It's always the cover up. It's the crime most, like the burglary for Nixon was second rate. And he didn't even need it. He won in a landslide in 72.
Yeah, the reason why that burglar happened is because the Democrats had information on a specific person, a Republican, and they wanted about him and an affair and his wife and et cetera. It was a whole thing. They went in to get that information out. That's the reason they broke into that.
Right. But Trump continuing trying to destroy evidence, move evidence, lying to prosecutors, asking all the people in the case to lie about it, like that stuff is open and shut and against the law, plain and simple.
Yes.
So I think you can argue, look, if you're Tim Pool or you watch Tim Pool and you think everything he says is right, or you're a Trump fan, like you look at it and you go, okay, Chris Spangle is going to give you the argument that Georgia and the two New York cases are meant to punish Donald Trump for running for president.
Disagree.
Fine.
New York, maybe. Georgia, no. Disagree.
And then, but the stealing of documents when you were, Joe Biden did it. Well, what Joe Biden and Mike Pence did is return the documents immediately. They didn't try to argue that the documents were theirs.
They didn't lie to investigators
that they had them, move them, text people and threaten witnesses. Like you,
and attempt to destroy
right
evidence by destroying the video camera feeds. And the server. They tried to destroy the server, but realized they couldn't do it.
Right.
Somehow that room got flooded.
Hey,
but the timing of it all is suspect, Reinhold, isn't it?
Hey. According to my IRS auditor, that happens all the time. I get my basement gets flooded all the time.
Your guns and your tax returns are all flooded.
All gets flooded. My boat has many holes in it.
You've got a boat in the basement downstairs. I thought that was weird. That's the thing that I run into is like the timing of it all is suspect. Well, no, because the process of trying to I've done shows on it.
It takes time to investigate.
A big piece of the problem with go back to the bail bondsman that I talked to from Houston. The reason that so many criminals are back on the street and allowed to murder again mm-hmm. is that it takes a long time, thanks to COVID backups, mm-hmm. now to get people through the court system.
Right.
And judges aren't necessarily going to make an exception for Donald Trump. So an investigation takes a year at least to work on, especially a very complicated investigation with a criminal enterprise as big as Donald Trump's. Mm-hmm. And so it takes time for those investigations to work their way through, takes time to charge them, to get them arraigned, and then a few months later, like when somebody says there's a timing issue here, I hear that person saying, I don't understand how long the criminal justice system actually takes for most people.
Most of them don't understand how it works at all.
At all. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Bingo, bingo. It's when people talk about, well, Putin didn't invade Ukraine during Trump because he was afraid of Trump. No. It was right after the world pandemic. Right. Countries are broke. They're trying to rebuild. It was the only time that he could, because no one expected the United States to start dumping billions into a country.
Yeah, that's Franklin Foer wrote in his book that I think he interviewed Putin, or Putin did an interview that he reported on in the book. But he's basically saying, why did Putin wait till Biden was president? Angela Merkel had left. They had a weaker, newer prime minister. Mm-hmm. He knew at that point that the French president was very weak. We see the riots constantly happening in France. You had Brexit had thrown Britain into chaos.
Correct.
And then you had Biden. Biden, he was actually impressed when he met him in person, and his words to him when he walked him up on stage were, wow, you look better than I thought. Hilarious. But he saw him to be more robust, but he didn't think that Joe Biden had the political capital to do what he's done in terms of funding. So he saw weakness across the board. It wasn't about Joe Biden per se. Mm-hmm. There was a piece of it that was that way. But that was his calculation on that.
And the United States is shaming the other EU countries to also donating and putting things up,
which they still haven't done enough.
Right.
They're doing higher
GDP.
So what?
Than we are.
Yeah.
Do more.
Percentage of GDP that they're giving is like twice the what we're giving.
Good. Make it three times.
No, it's fine. But what I'm saying, the other thing too is that have you heard this week? Putin gave an interview saying, or his minister of whatever gave an interview saying that their calculation is that the West is getting tired of this. The people are starting to say they don't want to support it anymore. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they do, we're going to be able to go in and finish this up and get that country back where it should be with us, because it's never technically not.
But USSR. That's going to happen.
All that Reagan did. No, it's not going to happen. If we help Ukraine, they won't happen.
That's Western democratic countries don't have an open checkbook forever like Russia will. That's the problem.
Russia's not.
Why is the Taliban still in charge of Afghanistan?
Russia does not have an open checkbook.
I've been hearing about how broke they are for a year and a half now.
They just had to pull their navy off of Crimea. Because they were getting their navy was getting destroyed by a country that doesn't have a navy.
Yeah, they're getting gassed up also by like China. So that they're also right now the sanctions are also helping Russia's economy. Mm-hmm. They're not having to interact with the rest of the marketplace. The worst thing that can happen to Russia right now is to drop the sanctions. Their economy won't be able to take the hit.
Yeah,
you know, and flux.
But they'll never do that.
Oh no.
No,
that's
we're just going
way.
To continue.
That's a terrible way to take.
We're just
going to
continue the sanctions and let them continue to build an alternative economy that will end up in 10 years.
No, why would F us? Who's their biggest ally? China? Ooh, they. Good luck, Brazil. They Iran. Can't get up. Yeah, you know. Yeah,
Iran.
Yeah.
I've just been hearing for 10 years that China's about to collapse. Russia's about to collapse. North Korea's about to collapse. These economies just keep growing. They keep getting stronger, and they keep networking together. BRICS is in a different place than it was 10 years ago.
I think the biggest hitter inside of BRICS is India. India is the biggest hitter.
100%.
Eventually, India is going to find out the lead weight of the Indian economy is China, who India and China are not friends with. Brazil and Russia and India will. If India's smart, they'll do something. They'll go somewhere else and gets out of BRICS. It's a lead anchor to the Indian economy.
Yeah. So let's go back to the Tim Pool video. we're way off on tangents, but that's what we do.
If the vice president decided that he agreed, and he could have, it would be kicked back either to the state legislatures to decide, or it could go to delegates in the House of Representatives. The delegations are not the total members of Congress. It is. It was believed at the time, Newsweek wrote about this before the election. I mean, I can't believe this is over 3 years ago, that what would happen is there are more Republican delegations to the House than Democrat, and thus they would likely elect Donald Trump. But this is the process by which the Constitution and legal precedent sets for how we deal with these discrepancies, how we deal with these conflicts. We don't just say, one side is right, everyone give up, we're done. We say, hey, I have a challenge to this. And then the legal challenge carries on, and that's how the system is to be handled. Mike Pence ultimately decided not to participate, and that's that.
Yeah, he decided not to participate.
Because he's not legally allowed to. The other thing, too, is that there was no legal challenges going on at the time. All of them had been dismissed and found to be without merit. Yeah. It's not like they had ongoing legislation happening at the time anyway.
Yeah.
To be fair, some challenges were made, and they and either the judge has said they didn't have standing, you know, and the cases did get thrown out. Or they kept appealing, and eventually a case got kicked back up. Was it like Arizona, wasn't it, with the voting machines there? But that was very small little segment.
Yeah, like one or two out of 150.
To be fair.
I think he won one case.
I'm trying to steel manning the argument.
Steel manning? I've never heard steel manning before.
You mean
straw manning?
No, I'm steel manning it. Instead of fighting it. Yeah, instead of making it stronger. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm steel manning. Thank you. Thanks, Randall.
You mean all the arguments in the world, I think that's that. A legal challenge is made. Mike Pence says no. We move on.
It wasn't a legal challenge.
But that's not what they're doing. They're advancing forward. They're advancing forward with criminal charges against lawyers and political consultants and publicists. Mehdi Hasan, here's what he says. He warned that threats of political violence are no longer just talk, as some elected Republicans allude to civil war or the use of force amid the criminal prosecutions of Donald Trump. The MSNBC host on Sunday was discussing how a possible conviction. So clarification, the article they published was from, they posted the video on MSNBC today. It was actually from 2 days ago. The host on Sunday was discussing how a possible conviction and sentencing of the former president would play out among his supporters, particularly as Georgia prosecutors look to bring their election interference case against him to a grand jury on Tuesday. Trump is already facing three other criminal cases. Hasan rolled a clip of one Trump supporter speaking with NBC News' Vaughn Hilliard at a New Hampshire rally last week. If Donald Trump were to be found guilty by a jury, where do you see this going? Civil war, the woman responded, adding, because we can't live together, obviously. These were not the rantings of a cultish Trump superfan, Hasan argued, pointing to elected Republicans who have made similar remarks. And you know what?
Before they did ask someone in New Hampshire.
Yeah, people have been stockpiling weapons ready to break Ian Freeman out of jail.
Allegedly.
No, he's
allegedly.
See you in 8 years, buddy.
He's not allegedly in jail. They're allegedly breaking him out.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that sentiment. These are not ranting and raving crackpots in the middle of the woods screaming about the end being nigh. Yeah, these are regular, working-class people who are pointing out what Mehdi Hasan has already said, what many liberals and leftists have already said, what everyone seems to agree on. There've been numerous.
We all agree, right?
So here's the thing he's doing, and it's I see this a lot.
Hasan too. Or Poole?
Poole. Because and Hasan in a way.
I mean, editors podcast at National Review the other day was talking about the exact same things that these three are talking about.
What they're doing is they're talking to people and saying, you know, what would happen? And they say, well, we fear there will be a civil war because they keep getting told there's going to be a civil war by all these people. So, yeah, they're going to start saying that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that's what's going to happen because they're getting told that's what's going to happen. And it's a cycle.
But isn't that what Poole's really saying is that if we don't kind of get it together – like civil war is going. I don't feel like Tim Pool is saying I want a civil war. I feel like Tim Pool is saying if we don't fix some things, we're going to have a civil war. You watch him. Is that correct? A more
that's
fair?
That's his thing. Is like he doesn't see like an off ramp to a lot of this ramping up of both sides.
Because
like,
I agree with that.
Part of the problem is that he is one of the facilitators of that whole mindset.
In what way?
He sees it as being all Republicans good or all Democrats bad. That's what he's been saying about this whole thing.
Nope, that's not fair.
That's what he's, in this case, is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I'll just say, because a lot of times he just.
Trump can do no wrong.
No, he talks about how Trump can do wrong sometimes. A lot of the times he also says, you know, he just despises Republicans. He said they're useless.
He only despises Republicans and thinks they're useless when they agree with Democrats or let the Democrats get their way. All
right. He also likes the Mises Caucus.
My point is now made even.
Why did you think that was going to hurt? Help with him.
I really, really just wanted to give like Reinhold a bone.
But you know what I'm saying? I really think a lot of this is, and he's been harping about this for years and years and years, right? It's like when you say, oh, there's going to be a recession next year.
Yeah.
There's going to be a recession soon. There's going to be a recession.
Yeah.
There's going to be a recession. People start saying, well, I think there might be a recession. They start pulling back. It generates its own reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you keep on it enough.
Yeah. I really feel Sitch and Adam always talk about this, like we're going to end up LARPing ourselves into a civil war.
He definitely wants to make himself right.
Yeah.
He wants to be right. He wants the flag that he's planted his hill on to pan out. That's where I would say, yeah, you're right, Reinhold, in that you have to be careful with it.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's that wrong. Hassan's not that wrong. And the editors of the National Review are not wrong when they say we're in a precarious position.
Yes.
And when you have a left that obviously will burn down cities.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on in Philly. I don't think it's politically motivated. But you have people in cities that are willing to burn themselves out of their houses.
Yep.
And business is down. And then you also we've gotten to the Kyle Rittenhouse point. Mm-hmm. You know what the editors on the most recent one, because I listened about the Kevin McCarthy stuff, and what they were saying is was actually pretty grim, in that Donald Trump's not going to win again because he isn't going to get more independence. You may have a situation like Hillary where the black base specifically stays home. You see the massive erosion of the black vote, and there isn't a Democratic presidential candidate that can win without black women.
You see what's happening in Chicago. Yeah. The Chicagoans are getting pissed off because they've been dangling the keys of reparations in front of black people for decades. Mm. And then there's like, well, just one day you'll get your money. Just keep voting for me, you get this money. And then they have these the migrants come across the border, and they're going to get some housing, money, jobs. Right. And so they're like, so you're going to give it to them? They're not U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, so you,
it's, that's what happened in Germany. So that's why Germany started the ADP party. Is East Germany still very poor compared to West Germany, West Berlin, I mean. And so the immigrants were all settled into East Berlin in the projects. Mm-hmm. And so the poor Germans there were like, the F? What do you do? Which radicalized East Berlin to become more towards authoritarianism. But
it's almost like at the history rhyme. I think I'd be looked at modern Germany right now because that side of Germany is still not as rich as the other side of Germany because
of 70 years of communism.
Yeah. And let's just some of the stuff like, sorry, I've been learning more about Germany. It's like, it's kind of like effed up little place.
Lots of weird stuff.
Yeah. Go back to Asia. It's almost more stuff going on. It's a little safer.
Let me finish my point with the editors. What they were saying is that you may have Trump win because enough Democrats stay home, but he's not going to increase his vote total. He's got his base. He may even start to shed this is what Rove was saying, is that he could see someone coming in and taking Biden's place. Because if you remember, LBJ dropped out after New Hampshire. He dropped out the election year in 68, which, you know, Hubert Humphrey came in, RFK came in, but first there was I forget the candidate's name. He mentioned it, but he was the sacrificial lamb that wasn't going to win, but cracked open the idea, which let everybody else come in. And that could happen to Biden still, because he promised to be a one-term president and be a bridge builder, mm-hmm. and he's trying to be a change maker, and there's resentment on the Democrat side. Mm-hmm. But then he said on the Trump side, when you look at his numbers, and I'll put the link to this podcast, both of these, because I thought they were interesting, but you know, we talked about Trump and his numbers in Iowa and New Hampshire, where they're exposed to other candidates. You see his numbers really, really, really softening. And what if somebody does really well in Iowa where he's not really campaigning, and then that kind of cracks open that door? Maybe it won't be Trump versus Biden. I'm assuming it will be. Yeah. But he said, basically, you know, so what the National Review people were saying is Trump's not going to win, either not the primary or not the election, because the fundamentals of the electorate are not there for him. Politics in America is still about building coalitions. It's not about building your own propaganda machine and then propagandizing enough people into your camp the American system doesn't work that way. That's why you're seeing the Mises Caucus fall apart in the Libertarian Party, because you don't have enough people to replace people. You, when I was the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, the cycle of volunteers was 4 years. Mm-hmm. They'd get involved, they were hungry, they'd run for office, they'd do stuff, and then about 4 years, they'd kind of drop out. Yep. That cycle's like a year right now. And so they're not replacing people fast enough to justify all the people that are getting tired and leaving. And so you're starting to see the membership numbers collapse. And you're going to see October, November, when most people sign up, it just really look ugly for them. But so Trump's going to claim that the election was stolen again. So what happens? What happens if he gets convicted? And they meditated on, what if Donald Trump has to govern from jail? What if he's president in jail? How does that function? How does that work if he were to win, right? How does he run for office in prison? And the amount of steps between here and there, things can get so much more ratcheted up on either sides of the extremes. So what happens when that happens? Now, Karl Rove on this podcast made the case that things were far worse in the 60s. You had all these political assassinations. You had thousands of bombings, political bombings, and people getting killed. Not a few. Mm-hmm. Not Timothy McVeigh, one big explosion in the last 30 years. Thousands of bombings. You had...
And the weatherman, you had the Philadelphia move bombing where the government's actually the government did buildings.
It. You had the Black Panthers. You had all these militaristic movements, mostly on the left, but also generating some counter-revolutionaries. And then you go back to McKinley. McKinley gets assassinated. The president gets killed then because that 10-year period was full of anarchists and bombings and killings and assassinations and political disruption and stolen votes. And you look at 1860. You listen to the podcast that I did with Dan Miller about the four presidential histories, you know, and then you have 1800, which we covered in there, where people didn't know if you elected the next president, if they would maintain the actual system. You were voting, you could have gotten Aaron Burr, and you really could have in the fifth year of the country or the ninth year of the country gotten a dictatorship, and it would have been the French Revolution. The reason the French Revolution didn't happen was George Washington. You had somebody who was of a unique character of the great men of history, mm-hmm. who didn't seek power for himself. But what, you're going after George Washington?
No, no, but I'm not. He wanted that job.
Of course he did.
He showed up every day in his outfit. Anyway, it's a whole joke. But.
Of course.
I'm just saying, like,
he had, you know, the United States quiet image.
He understood.
But he wasn't Napoleon.
No, he understood what the position was for and what it meant and what, why he should step down when he did.
But speaking of Napoleon. We could, let's just focus because yeah. we got to go. We could enter a period where you get tit for tat, just like McCarthy, you know, where McCarthy needs the Democrats help him, then he goes and meet the press, betrays him, so then they say, F you. And then they kick him out of the hideaway office, and then he takes it, right? Like, things have a way of progressing and have not slowed down mm-hmm. by tit for tatting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wrote in 2020 how we would slip into a civil war on chrisspangle.com. What if Donald Trump loses again? And he is growing on Truth Social to be more violent, more militaristic. They need to be jailed. These people that I don't like need to be killed. Let's kill the drug dealers. He never said that stuff in 2016. He's gotten much more mm-hmm. willing and comfortable with language of violence. What happens if he does start calling for violence from his prison cell, right? What happens then when he gets locked up because all these people think that he is being unfairly prosecuted? Mm-hmm. Because they don't have access to information. They have access to information, but they don't consume the information that you do. He's in jail. He's lost the election. You've got his acolytes on social media constantly spinning this stuff up. 20% of police forces in the military are with him. So when there is actual shooting and violence, 30% of the police department just doesn't show up to help because they're not on the right side.
Yeah. They're liquidating his assets in New York, so he's going to have liquid cash.
Right. So
they want to go after Mark if he's forced to sell.
I look at this and I go, money. I don't feel like it is all that crazy to think. Now, would we have a civil war where you'd have a sixth of the country dying like in the 1860s? No. But could we get to the place of the late 60s, early 70s where there's political assassinations? We've already seen that attempted. Steve Scalise, Gabby Giffords. Now, these were wackadoodles. But you just need a couple wackadoodles to get, you know, now,
copycats, and
if the economy gets bad enough, I just don't see a lot of these guys with Punishers, Punisher signs on their trucks going, you know what, I don't like my F-150, I don't like my family, I don't like my house, I don't like the $500,000 I make running my lawn care service, I'm ready to go start shooting for Donald Trump. I just don't think those guys get there, but if the economy were bad enough... You know,
maybe. What I think you see, and you've seen this since the Civil War, you've seen periods of unrest, people getting violent, people, you know, throwing bombs and everything else. And then there's a cooling off period. Better heads prevail, because society just doesn't want that anymore, you know, as a whole. So they are, the society as a whole is going to start clamping down on it, making it untenable to keep doing that. Getting those people put in jail, like they did with the weathermen. They're going to start pushing back against this.
Right. I don't think we live in some revolutionary moment. I think that we are living in a society that is getting more conservative, not just in its entertainment choices, not just in the fact that I think, yes, there is the great de-churching, but there is a much bigger willingness now versus 10 years ago for people to be openly Christian. I think people are getting more conservative as millennials get older, have stuff to protect.
Yes.
And so I think that people overestimate the willingness of the millennials to go start shooting when we're all 40 now. I've got two kids and a house and a car payment. I can't go do revolutionary libertarian politics like I did.
And that's why
can't afford $20,000 a year.
That's why a lot of libertarians and other people like that, revolutionaries, don't get it, is that people want to wake up the next morning after an election and not have to worry about what their job
have
is
predictability.
Like. They want predictability, they want stabilization, they want a stable economy, they want stable everything. And you're not going to be able to convince them to throw it all away in a revolutionary fit. Not enough people are going to jump in on that.
Yeah.
So, and that's what's really like, also, like what Temple is going to get in this art in this video, I don't think we'll get to it, is that's why Antifa and stuff like that in those little pockets are really dangerous. You've got a bunch of young people and millennials, right, who have nothing and have created these little pockets of themselves, and they keep churning and making more of themselves.
Yeah.
So that's like the.
But then they also keep phasing out of it, too. They make a relationship, they get a job, settle down.
Especially, like, that's another reason why they got so mad at Andy Ngo, because Andy Ngo was, like, posting their names on it. So it also was like, okay, well, you know, now your name, your face is attached to this organization, so when you get out, you have to deal with this stuff.
They've also been putting the wrong names out there, and now people are getting their lives destroyed for not even being involved in it, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there could be a period where both sides are revolutionary and do some things that are really bad, but I think the tendency in American society has always been for the middle to pull back on the extremes. They're willing to let these two sides go for a while, which is why I was completely wrong about things like lockdowns, because I thought the middle will surely correct the government and push back, and it took way longer than I expected. I don't think I realized how freaked out and scared people actually had gotten when, like, a month's worth of research in April would have made you go, okay,
yeah,
Reinhold has some different factors than I have. I can go to Florida in July. But people are still wearing masks.
Yeah, a lot of people were worried they didn't want to be blamed. No one wanted to be down on history, like, well, you're the person that did that. Right. You did this.
What ifs?
Yeah. I don't want to be sued. Some people were also just drunk on power. Imagine being like just the health person for the county and going, like, I can control who's open and who's closed. I have that power.
Well, I think the incentive structure is not as much that as, like, all right, why did Greenwood put orange construction fencing in April around all their playgrounds? Right. What if 6 months from now I'm the cause of people dying? Right. I don't want to be in that position. And so that's the calculation for most. But yes, there are the petty tyrants who go, you know what? These people who are being uppity, we need to put the screws to them, and they need to understand that the government, when it tells you what to do, you obey. Like,
exactly.
There's definitely a piece of that we saw that there's no doubt about.
Yeah, we've got tons of videos of people alone in stores, like trying to put their stuff online, get arrested. Like, no, you got to close. Or the guy who's on the beach by himself, and the police go and arrest the man.
Yeah. If we don't make an example of you. So, but I think in terms of the question of our final question here is like, do you think there will be civil war? I look at it and go, I think there will be more unrest, and the unrest will probably be bigger. But I don't think that if you're listening to this program, you're going to necessarily be affected. It's not probably going to come into your suburban household and blow up your place. But, I think if you live downtown in places, there's going to maybe be more riots at some point. Yeah. If you're running for office and you are in the middle, you have a better shot of getting killed than if you're on the extremes.
DC is getting really bad right now. DC, city-wise,
city-wise,
violence going on.
I think Philly being lit on. There's going to be unrest, but I think on the other side of that, we do moderate. When you look at these revolutionary periods of the 1800s, the 1860s, the 1890s, the 1920s, it's the fourth turning concept. We're going through that. Yeah. But on the other side of that is a period of stability. As long as they don't default on the debt and completely collapse the economy, they'll get a hold of it, right, guys?
Yeah. It'll be fine. Honestly, I think back to Georgia is going to probably light the path forward. Is the RICO case against Trump and the RICO case against the Antifa members for Cop City of showing people of like, because a lot of the hangups of a lot of these, like these roving gangs, a lot of things like to do is basically cast like dispersion. So it's really hard to find someone because, you know, you're going to arrest somebody who's wearing black jeans, a black hoodie, you know, well, how many people look like that? You know, it's kind of hard to get that. But if you can get them into a conspiracy, you can go in and get that whole gang and just wrap them up. Now, I hate the rule, that law, because it does get people, some people unfairly, but it kind of does gut out a lot of that violent stuff like real quickly. It's something the Republicans built up in a lot of different places to go after the mob or in Atlanta to go after gangbangers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it was getting used against Trump and these Antifa members in the woods for Cop City.
Giuliani was the biggest, you know, pusher of the RICO statutes back in.
Ironic. Reinhold, civil war or not?
I don't think we're going to see a civil war. I think we're going to see we're on an apex right now of violence. I think after the 2024 election, there will be fallout, and then it will start to go back down.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Harry, good video. Thank you so much. We didn't even get to half, did we?
No.
Did we break the Discord record? You said 5 minutes in, right?
Yeah, 5 minutes in. Yeah, we got
8 minutes, 8 and a half minutes into this.
Yeah. There's a real spot section that's coming up. But if we touch it, another. Because it's going to talk about Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution. And, oh, man, that's just going to
change. Send me the video, please. and I'll put it in there so if people want to watch, they can.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Paul says, 8 and a half, 2 minutes, too much. You know what? We make fun of Reinhold here for being annoyingly progressive. Mm-hmm. Paul is taking that title.
First off.
Reinhold argues from... Look, you have your smug points, but mm-hmm. I find when we're arguing, you're just, no, that's not true. Here's why I think that. Paul is mocking.
Yes.
And it's not and I don't mean that as a compliment. I think he just, you know, we always joked about how Reinhold is trust the narrative Reinhold. Never met a prosecutor that he doesn't love. But you have trained, Paul has spent too much time around you because he's like your little acolyte running around acting the same way.
Get that photoshopped up.
Never talk to me and my little progressive again.
Yeah, I needed a Sith Reinhold and Paul.
Paul says, I'm not progressive, I just have a low tolerance for Tim Pool. And it's because he's right, you perceive him to be right wing. You don't like anything right wing. That's the reality, Paul.
I don't like Tim Pool. I think he's
irresponsible.
Irresponsible, but I mean, just a bad person.
I don't think he's a bad person. I think he's.
I don't feel like he's a bad person.
I don't think he's a bad.
Person. I wouldn't.
I get that feeling from him.
Just Matt Gaetz, yes.
McCarthy and those guys. Yeah, they're all bad.
Grifter, bad person, right?
Yeah, definitely
McCarthy, bad person, liar.
I was saying the other day, I was watching Comer. Try to run that, and it was just like He just oozes.
Tim Pool doesn't seem like a bad person. He seems to me like a person who isn't careful.
Yeah, not careful. Audience captured it sometimes. Right. You know, so.
Yeah. Audience capture, I mean, he's too busy trying to give his audience what they want as opposed to challenging them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes
yeah.
I think he's unthinking. I think he hears something from someone else and he goes, oh, that sounds good. And goes,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Yeah.
Sometimes he fights against it, his own audience. And it's when he's really good when he's doing that. But sometimes it's, yeah, he's, yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
When your income is based on making your audience happy.
Right.
I mean, we're at the point now with the Patreon where I'm about to have to. I'm not. We're going to be upside down.
We're
going to
be coming in next week with beanies on, right?
Is that what we're doing? No, we're going to have to start canceling some things.
If we make that type of money, you guys better put that beanie back on.
But you get to that point and you go, look, like, and you know, we're making. I'm not making a living doing this. I'm paying our bills for the network, and I get a little extra.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were making your entire salary off of it, you better believe there'd be that incentive to never really challenge your audience. You'd be a prisoner of
your own success.
I need to make sure they're happy.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure. So, all right, fellas. Thanks so much. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Reinhold. Thanks, Harry. Thank you, audience, for being with us. We will see you again next month here on We Are Libertarians.